Now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Right, second try. Hello and welcome to your pre-prize special Shout Out. I'm Andy Shilton.
And I'm Ella Watts. Today on the show, Lifeblood.
We speak to Matt Clear from NHS Blood and Organs. Can you help?
And it's Bristol Pride this Saturday, and I'm back to help present.
And today we'll give you some history of how Pride started and where did that rainbow flag come from and why all those colours.
All that and more.
Today, right here on Shout Out. So, hello everyone, how are we all?
Good evening.
Hello.
So, hello Lucy, hello. Welcome back.
Hi, so, I'm here again.
And a very warm welcome back to the lovely Ella. It's lovely to have you back.
Hi, it's nice to be here. It's nice to see new faces in the studio as well. I'm very excited to meet Lucy.
Thank you.
And a few old ones as well.
Oh, well, you know, Terry, you should know I love your face.
So, not long till Pride. We're all excited.
Matter of hours to go, really, isn't it? 36 hours.
Yeah, we're up there earlier on the Downs, so they're all setting up.
Preparing.
Yeah, we've been given a tent.
I know, yes.
Have we actually?
We have, yes.
Glamour!
By accident, bless them. But we got a message from Pride earlier saying, you know, you bring your own marquees normally. Like, yeah. And they're like, well, our marquee company's put one up for you by accident. We're like, oh.
We'll take that.
Okay. So
they're having like a garden party area for us.
I love that. I was going to say, were they told that the gays were coming, you know, like the radio gays, and were they going to put loads of radio signs on our tent? I like that.
No, we got supply room signs.
Oh. Yeah. But no, you'll be able to see us if you look. Well, if you're looking at the stage, if you look to the left, you'll see some trees. And we're just to the left of that. There'll be a big TV screen in the way of the trees, to be fair, I think.
I think it will be much more interesting to look for than whatever's on stage, right? Like, if you just sort of stare at a patch of trees and you know that you're looking at potential shout-out, like, who cares about the superstars on stage? I might be seeing shout-out happening.
Yeah. So
I was going to ask off-air where we're going to meet, but now I know. Thank you.
So, now, before we get into lots of stuff about Pride, we've got a little bit of a kind of appeal. It sounds weird when the way I've written it down, we want your blood, but they mean it in a nice way. Have a listen to this.
Pride is not just about the protest and the enjoyment that we all get out from it, but there's a lot of people who come to Pride trying to get a message out to specific areas of the community, and the LGBTQ one is one of the most important ones. I'm joined by Matt Clee from NHS Blood and Transfusion. Matt, you're going to be at Pride and you've got a great message to put out and you do need help.
Yeah, thanks, Steffi. Yeah, we're going to be at Pride. We're going to be there marching along and you'll find us in the community tent shouting out a message of come and join us to give blood and sign up to donate organs. And yeah, that's what we'll be there promoting.
Okay. Do you find it difficult to get blood? And I know there was an issue, wasn't there, a while ago with a computer system, which meant there was quite a shortage. Did that affect organs as well as blood, Matt?
So that issue only affected organs, but every year we need to transfuse 2 million to 2.5 million blood transfusions across the UK. So we always need to make sure that we're keeping our blood stocks at a level where we can meet that demand from the NHS. So as part of that, we need to get new donors signing up to donate blood to maintain our donor base. And the LGBTQ plus community is an important part of that donor base. But also now and again, we have issues such as the computer system problems that happened around the London area, which mean that we have an urgent need for certain blood types where we might need to have types which can go out to more people. So we may have urgent messaging where we go out and try to get people to donate blood quicker.
Mm. In the past, I know Shout Out has dealt with Afro-Caribbean communities and that. And are you still finding it difficult to get blood and donors from certain sections of the community?
Yeah, absolutely. So we work very closely with partners in communities such as the Afro-Caribbean community. And the reason we need to do that is because we all have different blood types, and some blood types are rarer in some communities than others. And so what we need to do is make sure that we collect blood from all communities across the UK so that we can make sure we fulfill the demand that's needed. So if people have a rarer type of blood, then we might need to go to the communities where that blood is more common, so that we can make sure that we're maintaining the rarer blood stocks as well as everything else.
Very important what you do, Matt. And like I said, you are going to be at Pride. You're going to be on the march. And actually, you've got a stand, haven't you, at the Pride event?
Absolutely. Yep. So we'll be at the march. Give us a wave as we go past. Definitely. We'll also be at the stand. And at the stand, we'll be explaining more about what you can do to sign up to give blood and organs. And also, we'll be signing people up there and then. So if you're interested in learning more about blood donation, and if you'd like to sign up to be a blood donor, you can come along then. If you don't see us, we'll be in the community tent. But if you don't see us, you can also go to blood.co.uk and you can learn more there about what it means to give blood and how it works and what happens on session when you're giving blood. And you can register there as well.
Excellent. I think we got all the info there. But like you said, people need more. You're going to be at Pride. Matt Clee, thank you so much for joining us on Shoutout.
Thank you for having me.
There you go. So, they're making me laugh off air then. What were you saying? Want a vampire to take your blood?
I do want a vampire to take my blood. The original vampire novel is Carmilla by Jayla Fanu, and it is about a lesbian vampire who lures young women into her bed. And I'm just saying, if there's any lesbian vampires out there and they want to lure me into their bed, I'll give them my blood.
I don't know. We don't see you for all these years, and the first thing you do when you come back is advertise for a lesbian vampire.
I'm sorry. If any gay men have been watching Interview with the Vampire, then they know exactly what I mean, and I'm just saying.
So, anyway, a big thank you to Matt Clee there, and obviously Steph doing the interview too. So, now, talking of Steph, you may remember last week she caught up with Darren Carter from Bristol Pride to find out what was going on during the week. Well, we've now got the second half where you find out a bit more about what's happening on the day. So have a listen to this.
I'd just like to make a mention, because usually each year we try and get them on the radio for an interview, because they are so talented in their own right. They do an incredible act on the side of the stage. They don't only just sign, do they?
They really get into it. And I remember one year we had Dr. Mika on, and the signer was that one. I literally came off the stage and was sick because she had been really grooving into it, gotten really into it, and just got overly excited. But they really do. And, you know, our comedy night is also BSL interpreted, and, you know, they do an amazing job as well. And actually, they riffed with the comedians as well. So they just really bring something extra. So it's not, you know, it's not just there, and it's not just for people that need the interpreters. I think they bring a really fun, engaging element to what we do as well. And the signers on Pride Day are just incredible. And they work so hard, you know, it's over 9 hours of performance. So it's a lot to do, you know, a lot of music and lyrics to learn. You know, they've been learning those all in advance over the last couple of months, ready to a great show. And we have BSL across all the stages at the other festivals, so there's a big team and they do incredible work. Yeah, I'm so proud of them.
Indeed. And right, we're into the day itself now, the 13th of July, and it'll soon be coming round. And I guess the first thing is the march.
As ever, you know, we can't have Pride without the Pride March. You know, our first ever Pride events were just marches. So it's such an integral and important part of what Pride is. You know, I talked about it earlier about how important it was and what it means to get involved in that. But yeah, that's be gathering from 10 a.m. in Castle Park. Make sure you gather at the bandstand end of the park. We'll be departing at 10:45 a.m. And the route takes about an hour to complete. It's about 2 miles. And it's, you know, not a super quick pace, so it's a nice, leisurely, loud and proud, noisy walk onto the amphitheater, where we then have the shuttle buses that are running up to and to the festival site. As I say, it's free for any members of the public to come along. If there's anyone that's a business out there, it's like, oh, you know, I want to get out there and be seen, and I want to show the support of the community, you're also welcome. We just ask you to register, and there's a small fee to support the cost of putting the parade on for that. But for general members of the public, small community groups, you know, group of friends, or, you know, like a, you know, social group that you have, just come along, join us, be part of it, yeah, help make it such a loud and proud celebration.
I think an important part of that is the wristband, Darren. I think we should mention that now because of the bus travel is free.
Yes.
So on the day. So if you'd like to go through that offer.
Yeah. So for those that don't know, we, you know, Bristol Pride is donation entry, and we'll be asking everyone for a £5 donation on the gates if you can, but, you know, give what you can. But we do offer a wristband, and the wristbands start from £9 this year, they're a great way to support us, to help make Pride happen and help us cover our costs, but they also offer great rewards and benefits to you, and one of those key things is it's free bus travel all day in the Bristol zone, so in the which is quite a large bus area, and that's with first buses. So if you wanted to look at how big the Bristol zone is or whether it covers you, you can just go along onto their website and check that out. But yeah, all day long. So if you wanted to come to the festival, go home, come back again, come out in the evening, get your bus home in the evening, then that's all covered with the wristband. So do pick one up to help with your transport and your transport plans around the city on the day, and that's with any first bus in the Bristol zone, so you don't have to get one of our shuttle bus services. You can just get any first bus that takes you to where you need to go, and then the other benefits that, you know, people might be interested in is you can save 50p on your bar prices all day at Pride. So you'll be saving some money. So when you go and order your drink, if you've got your wristband, you can save some money on those prices as well. So actually, by the time you've factored in, you know, your free bus all day and savings on the bar prices, you're actually going to be saving money whilst supporting Pride. And there's loads of other benefits as well. So if anyone wants to check out all the benefits listed at the moment, which include being at the festival, but also with some partners as well, you can just head to bristolpride.co.uk/wristbands, and you can see them all there. And we do combination tickets as well, which includes the after parties, so that you can have a wristband and that can go multi-club entry to our after party at the O2 Academy, which is headlined by the Confidence Man DJs, along with DTYM and loads of other performers and DJs as well. But it also, the day and night wristband also includes entry to the Queen Shilling, and money off entry into Basement 45 for Girl Crush as well. So definitely one to check out if you want to go and check out a few after parties in the evening and carry on celebrating into the wee hours.
Yep, indeed. Right, okay. So let's get on to the stages.
Yes.
Because there's not just one stage. You've got quite a few, and you've got quite a headline of drag queens. They're going to also be performing on that stage. But let's start off with the main stage first,
yes.
Darren, and what acts people can expect.
Oh, well, I mean, you know, a multitude of acts. We haven't got enough time to go through absolutely everyone, but there's a few acts that I'm really excited about to welcome back. So, you know, we are celebrating our 15th anniversary, so I couldn't not invite some previous acts back to join us and celebrate and showcase how much we've grown. So Rosala is performing, and people may remember she last performed with us way back, in 2016, I think it was, down on the amphitheatre, and she'll be back with us this year. So we also welcome Cat Bear. And they are bringing you kind of like synthwave 80s and noughties inspired sounds. And I just love them. And I'm really excited to have them to Bristol Pride. We also have Project Icon winner Dylan and the Moon. People may remember Dylan won Project Icon with Jason Derulo as his mentor, and did a collaboration with them. So that's going to be really exciting to bring quite a fresh and different sound to the main stage. And then for people that love musical theatre, I'm really excited that we've got the cast of Aladdin making a very special trip up to the Downs on the day for a couple of numbers there. So that's going to be great. And Aladdin's on at the Hippodrome at the moment, so it's great to to be able to get them to come up and join us. And then moving on to the afternoon, we've got Claire Richards from Steps, and she'll be performing. And I know that she's at quite a few big prize events this year, because her recent album was an absolute banger. And it's just, it's a covers album of basically your queerest playlist ever. So it's really great fun. And I know it's going to be really camp and sound great. And if you couldn't have enough camp, we then have a Cher tribute called Essentially Cher, who is incredible. She sounds incredible, looks incredible. So she'll be covering a few Cher hits. And then, of course, we have Swedish pop royalty Charlotte Perrelli performing with us. And I'm really excited to see what she's going to bring for us on the day. So definitely a few kind of acts to watch out for in the afternoon. But of course, the big hitters in the evening, about 7:30 p.m. we've got Ladytron performing, and I'm so excited to have Ladytron with us. After reforming again last year and going on a massive American tour, we've been able to secure them for Pride this year, and I know it's going to be a really special performance for them. And the main stage will be headlined by the Human League. So they'll be on after that. And, you know, again, just an incredible band. I'm so proud to be able to book them. You know, in terms of the artists, they're probably one of the biggest names and acts we've ever booked, because they've sold over 20 million records worldwide. You know, 13 top 20 singles. Their greatest hits album was on a loop when I was younger. And they've since then produced even more greatest hits albums, because they've just kept going. You know, they formed in 1977, obviously had the big hits in 1982, and through the 80s, certainly would, you know, Don't You Want Me. Yeah, there's just so much going on with them that I just can't wait. It's going to be an incredible set, and they're performing, you know, it's a whole hour performance, so it's going to be something very special.
It is, yeah. Now, we're fast running out of time, Darren. If you could just give me a few of the top drag acts, because you've got some big names in amongst those.
We have, yes. So over 30 acts are performing on the cabaret stage. And yeah, there isn't enough time to go through them all. But definitely ones to watch out for is our RuPaul Drag Race alumni. So we're welcoming Pixie Polite from UK Drag Race. She'll be performing in the afternoon as our afternoon headliner. And our main stage, our main headliner for the cabaret stage is the incredible Heidi in Closet, who is from the fifth season of RuPaul's Drag Race USA, and All-Star Season 8. So definitely a fan favourite, and I just can't wait to see that performance. But so many people have asked me, is Mary Mack coming back this year? And yes, Mary Mack will be there as well. So I know that people really love Mary Mack. She'll be on. And we also welcome Val the Brown Queen, her first Bristol Pride performance this year. And she's been very popular around the UK as well, doing loads and loads of the circuit, been on the Joe Lycett show, etc. So definitely one to check out there. So just a few highlights, and I'll get told off because there are so many, but definitely worth checking out. And we you know, we have so many local queens involved this year as well, who are helping with the hosting and being part of it. It's going to be such a great celebration of both kind of, you know, UK and international acts, but also our local acts as well.
Darren Carter, Bristol Pride, can't wait. Thank you so much for joining us. I know you're busy.
No, it's great to be here, and we look forward to celebrating with you on the day.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
A lovely sash and Colour the World. Seems kind of appropriate, seeing is like, give it a couple of days and there'll be nothing but rainbows halfway through Bristol. So I've got a little treat for you this year as well. You know those little sticks you get with the rainbow that you can just walk up someone and like do it down the cheek? Yeah, I've got a couple of those this year. Okay. So you can just walk up and you can pride people.
Oh my gosh, we should go up to people and be like, hey, do you want to do an interview in exchange for me giving you a like random little bit of painting on your face?
For my niece, love glitter. People love glitter tats.
Yeah, that's true.
Those are popular.
Yeah.
Those are popular.
And they got a henna one this year? We have had henna tattoo things at Prides before.
I love
before.
Henna tattoos as well.
I remember being very young, like first Pride 1819 and getting henna tattoo and being like, so cool.
Yeah.
Went home and my mum freaked. And the listeners might be able to see, I've got temporary tattoos on at the moment. I don't know if you lot have noticed, and they're starting to develop. And my mum saw me on camera earlier and had an absolute heart attack. She was like, what have you done? Well, I finished laughing. I told her that they were fake.
Give them a shock.
Anyway, Mr. Starr, can we get some headlines?
You can indeed. This is Shoutout News. Welcome along. Radio France Info, the public service news channel in the Republic of France, remarks on the current divided state after two rounds of elections to the national legislature. President Macron has asked the country's first gay prime minister, Gabriel Attal, to remain as the de facto head of the government for the time being, for the sake of maintaining stability ahead of the Paris Olympic Games this summer. In a surprise moment of unity and solidarity, the left bloc of parties won the election to become the largest voting bloc in a hung parliament. The centrists came second and the far-right National Rally was beaten back into third place after a lot of fear that France would follow Italy in coming up under the yoke of extremism. TF1 News on French television provided the following breakdown of parties represented in the new French parliament. The new Popular Front, consisting of the Parti Socialiste, Ecology Party, the Communist Party and the France Insoumise, have 182 seats. The rest of the French leftist parties have 16. Ensemble, the pro-Macron centrist group, have 168 seats. Other centre-right groups have 76. And the far-right National Rally have 143 seats with other far-right allies. There are around 10 independent members of the parliament. Whilst not taking any sides in British political affairs, the network for LGBTQIA+ people from a Sikh background, the Sarbat Network, has said that it broadly welcomed the fact that the newly elected Labour government in the UK of Sir Keir Starmer have won a large mandate to ban conversion therapy after a terrific showing at the recent general election. A Sarbat press release said the new Labour government has committed to trans-inclusive conversion practices bans, and Sarbat has linked into this work through our volunteer Pritpal, who is part of the Ban Conversion Therapy Coalition. Sarbat are also promoting UK Black Pride, more details of which will be announced soon. This year, the UK Black Pride is at QE Olympic Park in London on the afternoon of Sunday, the 11th of August. And staying with the general election in Great Britain and Northern Ireland, LGBTQIA+ media and lobbying organisations have been pledging to hold the newly elected Labour government to their manifesto commitments to equality and towards minority communities of all types. Many people are cynical about remarks made by senior people in the new government about trans people in particular. Nevertheless, with a large majority, one of the largest, in fact, in parliamentary history, there is a clear mandate for reforms. Many in particular are hopeful that the worst rhetoric of the previous Conservative administration will be toned down, particularly with regard to immigrants, people from overseas and transgender women. Some of the more outlandish schemes proposed in the dying months of the Conservative government, such as making homelessness illegal and to bring in compulsory national service, have already been dropped. One thing we can all, regardless of political party affiliation, take away from this election is what polling expert Sir John Curtis picked up on in an interview for BBC Two television. He noted that all the culture war rhetoric and wrangling of the right-wing press and parts of the Tory party had failed to swing the voters. Instead, the state of the NHS, pollution and the economy remain the issues on which most people wanted to see in focus. Equality Amplified Group are launching a petition on the campaign website change.org to ask the incoming Labour government to reconsider a dissolution peerage given to Dr. Hilary Kass. Recent evidence provided by Yale University questions the review which may have led to the dissolution peerage for Dr. Kass. The group explains the research and findings indicate that the assessment process was not only flawed, but it could pose potential risks to the trans community. They go on to say, this calls for the Labour government to revisit the decision and thoroughly reevaluate any potential harm. We also believe through our research that there are existing mechanisms in place to allow this to happen. Let's fight to protect our trans brothers and sisters from decisions based on questionably reviewed decisions. We believe in accountability, fairness and respect for the dignity of all individuals. You can find the petition, should you wish to sign it, available online at change.org. The Peter Tatchell Foundation for Human Rights links to a report from The Guardian this week which reveals that microplastics have now been found in the tissue of men's penises along with seminal fluid and testes. In an article which would give many of us cause to affirm our support for environmental protest organisations, The Guardian quotes researchers as saying that the role that microplastics play in decreasing sperm counts and cellular degradation must be examined. Dr. Ranjith Ramsamay, who led the new research while at the University of Miami, said, we found that microplastics were present in the smooth muscle of the penis. All we know is that they are not supposed to be there, and we suspect it could lead to smooth muscle dysfunction. Sperm counts in men have been falling for decades, and 40% of low counts remain unexplained, although chemical pollution has been implicated by many studies. And finally, Greg Owen, writing at LGBTQ Nation Newswire, shares a wonderful moment that took place between the generations at Porto Pride in Portugal at the weekend. Greg reports, as the city's second annual march was winding through the ancient town's cobblestone streets, a parade goer named Lily was singled out by an old gentleman in the doorway of his house. Lily recalled, there was a gentleman holding a Portuguese flag. The crowd stopped behind her, though she didn't know it at the time, because everyone was really worried about what would happen next. What did happen broke down the internet, with more than 10 million views on X and counting. As Lily walked up to the old man, he extended his arms and draped his flag around her shoulders. Tears came to Lily's eyes and the old man's as well. I remember him saying, thank you, but it was very loud and everyone was screaming. We were all going crazy, she says. I don't know what came over me, to be honest. Lily had been carrying her own banner on the march, the Progress Pride flag, so she met the old man's supportive gesture with one of her own, draping her flag over the old guy's shoulders and hugging him tightly as she did. The two embraced for a long time, cheered on by marchers. As they parted, Lily stroked the old man's tear-streaked cheek. He gave her a sturdy thumbs up. And when Lily stepped back into the crowd, the old man unfurled his pride flag and proudly waved it. The marchers just went wild, wiping away tears. There is hope out there, Lily says. That is the spirit of pride. Well, that's it for another busy week, politically and culturally. Do be sure to listen to LGBTQIA+ podcasts, community radio services and websites through the week for further information. And indeed, why not check us out at shoutoutradio.lgbt. For Shoutout News, I've been Terry Starr.
Shoutout News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
For more information about Shout Out Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
I will survive. With plastic in my penis, apparently. That was really worrying, that news article.
It is, isn't it? We should be protesting more for the environment, yeah, I think, as well as pride.
It almost makes you think that you should sign a petition and do something about climate change and, yes, you know, act about the environment.
Well, you say is, that, you know, we now people have Green MP in Bristol.
There is a Green MP in Bristol. Yeah. It's the second ever to be elected and a total of four Greens in Parliament. Now, that's,
yes,
quite something. That is quite a result.
Yes. Who watched it? Did any of you? Because I watched it until I fell asleep on the sofa.
I could not bear to, because of general, you know, anxiety about elections over the last few years. I figured I'd go to sleep and whatever would happen in the morning would happen, and I'd face it at least on a full night's sleep.
Why not?
Oh, sorry, Tara.
It was really interesting to see how some of them, when they lost their seats,
behaved. I mean, Liz Truss. Oh my.
She just stormed out, didn't she?
Sulking.
Yeah.
Wow. Kid-like. Childlike. Yeah. At least Rees-Mogg was a more adult about it. I mean, it's really interesting.
We'll say what you say about the guy. I think there's a lot to say about him. Yeah. He's not an ally. But he was quite dignified in the way he said, okay, I lost. Yeah. And I lost for these reasons.
And Liz, when you come out the toilet,
some other people, yeah.
The slow clapping. But to try and get her out.
Seriously?
Apparently so.
Oh. I know when is it the Independence Party, when they started their speech, it literally was heckler after heckler after heckler.
All right.
So it was.
You can say what you will about British politics, but I always love seeing a guy with a bin on stage next to whoever's going to be our next Prime Minister.
I love this. And incidentally, we talk about the fringe candidates, but as we were talking off mic before the programme, I think the only one way to say is an extremist candidate stood against the Greens in Bristol an anti-transgender ticket. Yeah. They lost their deposit. Yes. Not only that, is that the party anti-trans people, known as the Party for Women, ironically, nothing to do with the Women's Equality Party, which is pro-trans and is pro-equality. The Party for Women polled less votes than the official Monster Raving Loony Party.
Yeah.
And there was
a trans candidate who stood who got a lot more votes. Well.
There was, yes. up in Edinburgh.
I also think there is just a lot of hope to take from this. I think, like, as a queer woman and with other queer women, which is repeatedly, whether we're talking about Stonewall or whether we're talking about YouGov, when we actually look at the statistics, the majority of women and the majority of queer women support trans people. Mm. And it's sort of these naysayers and horrible sort of fan-flaming culture war stuff that kind of, like, want to create this boogeyman that is much bigger than it is. Actually, most women do want to help trans people and stand with trans people, and like, it is a misrepresentation.
But they also focus on trans women.
Women's rights are trans women's rights, right? Like, you know, transphobia is misogyny, it's sexism, it's reducing like us down to our genitalia, which is exactly what we were trying to destroy. By helping trans women, I help myself as a cis woman, and I think most cis women know that, and like, we need to kind of focus on that, because for example, this election has been proof of that. We can see it, the proof is in the pudding in terms of where people are putting their votes and who is succeeding in these like elections. There is hope.
Yes.
End culture war stuff.
And I thought Keir Starmer did a very good speech, because he also said, and to those of you who didn't vote for us, we promise that we will, you know, do right by you in the country too, which was lovely. A lot of people said that. Yeah, actually, I didn't vote for him, but it was really nice that he actually touched on that, which is quite cool.
Well, that's what we need. We need a period after such a divisive previous administration. I think we need some kind of reaching out and consolidation.
And it still brings us all the way back to Pride and how it all started. We're going to concentrate on the flag a lot today. Yeah. Bless Ella's been lovely and done tons of research into it. But if you're not aware, do you know when the first Pride was? Anyone? First Pride in the UK?
1972.
Yes, 1st of July. July
the 1st.
And do you know why they picked July the 1st?
I want Terry on my pub quiz team.
Oh, yeah, please. We all do. Yeah. Added fountain of knowledge. So, I mean, you'll probably know this one too. Do you know why they picked the 1st of July that year?
I don't actually.
Because it was the closest to the anniversary of the Stonewall Riots in 1969. It's a bit of a. We look at the equality and pride and the like, and a lot of people say it kicked off with Stonewall. That's not actually true.
There was
a lot of campaigning going on, a lot of parties already here in the UK, but it would be remiss to say it wasn't a big turning point. I mean, it really made the world
very
sit up
symbolic. Very symbolic. Stonewall.
And look now, Ella. It wasn't then that the Pride flag came around, though, was it? Sorry, it's not called the Pride flag, is it?
No, it's called the Rainbow flag. So I was given some homework by Andy.
Well, I asked for some help.
I got really excited about my homework. I love homework. I'm a good girl. Gilbert Baker originated the Rainbow flag, which we all know and love. Now, it was originally 8 stripes.
Yes.
And then it's come down to the 6 stripe, which is the one you'll be more familiar with for a couple of different reasons. But the original reason reason that Gilbert came up with the rainbow flag is that he and his friends, in particular Harvey Milk, the LGBTQ plus activist and San Francisco city supervisor, I want to say councillor, but it's not that, actually asked him to design something. Because at that point, the gay community in San Francisco was using the pink triangle, which was obviously what Hitler had used for gay people during the Holocaust.
Yeah. I know of the pink triangle. I didn't realize they were still using it as a thing.
They were still using it as a thing. And so Harvey Milk and others were like, we want something that symbolizes our community that doesn't have these dark associations with the past.
Yeah.
Gilbert Baker was a textile worker and an artist. And so Harvey Milk said to him, like, can you come up with a flag? Can you think of something?
And he did that for a living, didn't he? He worked
at a flag company, and he was a textile artist. So
you don't think of there being flag companies, do you?
The Paramount Flag Company. Gilbert Baker says, like, he has his own memoir, Rainbow Warrior: My Life in Color. And he said he'd been thinking about it, and then he was at a gay club night, and he was inspired by, and this is a list from his book that I quote: these are the people that he wants to represent with the rainbow flag. Butch dykes, muscle gay boys, fairies of all genders and thrift store dresses, pink-haired punks, movie stars and girls in belly dance get-ups. The flag is meant to be a symbol of hope for all LGBTQ plus people. The idea was that it was supposed to be for everyone. It was supposed to be a rallying cry and a uniting flag.
Yeah. Now, I'd hope people wouldn't get offended by those things even these days, but I will point out when he said that, it was 1978.
Yeah,
so it was a slightly different time to now. But the point is, it was supposed to represent actually everyone, wasn't it?
Yeah, and these were words that people would use to describe themselves, right? Like, and the idea was that, like, when he talks about the rainbow, he's talking about the kaleidoscopic colors and shapes and sizes of the LGBTQ plus community. He's saying that it's not just one thing. Like, we're a whole spectrum of people. We're a whole spectrum of, like, backgrounds and appearances and everything. So he actually did, like I said, he was a textile artist. He did some silk screens. The first time that the banners were raised was in United Nations Plaza on 25th of June, 1978, to commemorate that year's San Francisco Gay Freedom Day Parade. And he and 30 volunteers in the San Francisco Gay Community Center hand sewed every single flag, like, and made them all and dyed them all, every single one. And that was the first set. And then very, like, tragically, Harvey Milk was assassinated, and after his assassination, loads of people wanted to buy more flags. And so the Paramount Flag Company, where Gilbert Baker was working, they couldn't keep up with demand. And so they cut one of the stripes, which was the hot pink one, which represented sex, because there wasn't enough fabric in that color for them to sell the flags. And they wanted to make sure people could have a flag if they wanted one. So they cut it down to seven stripes.
I thought it was because there wasn't enough dye.
I'm not sure why there was a decrease in the fabric, if it was the dye or the fabric. You know, I suspect that probably a bit of both, but... Yeah. But then it was seven stripes, and then a year later they found that when they hung it, because it was an odd number of stripes, when it was hung, if it sagged, like, it hid one of the stripes, and so they cut another stripe, which was the teal stripe, which was for magic. And so that brought it down to the six that we know.
Which is a shame. It'd be lovely. We keep getting told we're magic. We can do the weather and all sorts. It'd be kind of cool if we still had magic in the flag, really, wouldn't it?
I think you now can buy replicas of the original flag,
yes,
because obviously dyeing and techniques for fabric are much different from 1978. It's half a century old.
And I think a lot of people have been kind of going back to it because of the meaning of those stripes and how important they are to people. Example, when we have, in my opinion, unproductive discussions about kink at Pride and people saying that kink shouldn't be at Pride, whilst obviously kink and leather men and everything have been a part of Pride since, you know, the beginning, and it's like, it's a huge part of it. The fact that the original flag, which was for the whole community, had a stripe for sex and for our sexuality and for saying that LGBTQ plus people and the way we have sex is not bad or wrong or dirty or corrupt, like, it's a good and beautiful thing about us. Like, I think that that's a really wonderful thing to have, and so I think it's really nice to have copies of the flag. In fact, a silk print of the flag hung in the Clinton White House in 1992, which is wild to me.
92?
I know. 1992, Lord. It hung in the Clinton White House. So Gilbert did a couple of, like, big statement pieces with the flag. In June 1994, to commemorate the 25th anniversary of the Stonewall Riot, they made a mile-long rainbow flag, which was held by thousand people.
No, I think I've seen photos.
Yes, you will have seen like incredible, iconic photos of this across a cityscape. And then a little bit later in 2003, to celebrate the Rainbow Flag's 25th anniversary, Gilbert broke his own record because he'd made the biggest flag in the world, and he made then a bigger one, creating a 1.25 mile long banner which stretched from the Gulf of Mexico to the Atlantic Ocean. So it literally crossed two oceans.
Wow.
It was made for Key West Pride, and afterwards it was cut into sections and distributed